The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. Ask someone where to change currency for a trip, and many might just suggest the arcade at Raffles Place. Well, if you've never been there, then you'll see people in line changing their money into foreign currency. Money changers shuffling stacks of notes in their kiosks. Common sight around town. You can also find a lot of money changers in Heartlands as well. But, you know, it's interesting because their days might increasingly be numbered with uncertainty because of high-tech rivals muscling in on their turf. I mean, many fintech players are seeing a huge potential in the sector that has really not changed much in decades. Some of them going as far as to deliver currencies to customers' doorsteps, no fees and conversion rates. So are we seeing the end of our traditional money changers? What can money changers in Singapore do to keep themselves in business? Well, we have in the studio this morning Baraka Ali, the first vice president of Money Changers Association Singapore. Baraka, good morning.
Good morning to you.
And joining him is Muhammad Sulaiman, director of Nanayam Foreign Exchange. Sulaiman, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, guys, I want to start off with a bit of an icebreaker. What is the most changed currency at money changers in Singapore?
Well, it's obvious has to be the Malaysian ringgit.
Wow, that means a lot of Singaporeans go to Malaysia more than, you know, we care to think.
Yeah, definitely, because I think we see a lot of increase in sales of the Malaysian ringgit from Friday till Sunday.
Right.
So we are seeing the increase, and as more and more customers purchase a ringgit from us.
Okay. Sulaiman, then I guess it's safe to say Thursday, Friday, busiest day of the week for any money changer.
That is true. Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. And in addition to Singaporeans going over, we do have many Malaysians working in Singapore. So towards the end of the month, once they get their paycheck, they do change quite large sums for the expenditures.
In a week, right, is there a quiet day at a money changer? Is it possible that one day of the week tends to be the slow, like, I don't know, Wednesday, I'm just throwing it out there.
It is true, actually. Usually on the Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we are a little bit quieter.
Okay.
Compared to Thursday to Mondays.
All right. Let's talk about the Money Changer Association. Baraka, I guess you're the best person to answer this. What role does this association play exactly?
Well, the Money Changing Association was actually, I mean, as with all associations, we create to unite all the members, all the licensees, to face common challenges that will be like regulations, operational problems, and also how we can raise these industry standards to serve the general public better.
Okay. When you talk about raising industry standards, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I mean, obviously, it's going to be customer service.
Okay.
And also instilling the confidence in the general public, you know, that money changers do not cheat, they are doing ethical business, you know. I mean, things like that.
Sure. Out of curiosity, if I can stick with you for a little bit more, do you regulate the exchange rate between all money changers? Because, and I'm only asking this because I'm one of those that will go to a shopping mall, three different money changers, I say, oh, okay, what's the price difference?
Okay, it's against the law to regulate the rates. So if the Competition Commission hears of it, I mean, any money changers or therefore matter, any company will be in trouble, and their fines are not really cheap. It's very, very expensive.
Okay, that clears that up. Let's talk about Nanayam Foreign Exchange, Sulaiman. Tell us a little bit about its history and where is it located?
Okay, my shop actually is located in UT Square. It's right in the heartlands beside the UT MRT station. We started about 10 years ago.
Okay.
So, and our customers are all the locals, those around the UT area. So they're all regular customers. We know them pretty well. Mm-hmm. We see them on a very regular basis.
Just one outlet? Any thoughts of expansion, or is one outlet challenging enough?
One outlet is pretty challenging, but right now, like you mentioned earlier about challenges facing the industry, we are thinking of transforming the business.
What are you looking at?
For a start, we are more going trying to develop our own app, so my customers can like request for their currencies and all through their app instead of calling in. So that's the next step when it comes to transforming the money changing business.
Bit of convenience there.
Yeah.
By any chance, is it a family-run business?
In my family, we do have many different shops. So, but this shop is mine. I'm managing it solely. But my uncles, my parents, they have their own businesses as well. Their own money changing. So you can say money changing is a family business.
I'm curious, how does that work? I mean, like, what? Your father was a money changer, so yeah. It's natural for the son to be one. How did your uncles or your father perhaps influence you to become one?
Oh, well, it was a start from my grandfather, actually.
Okay.
He became a money changer. He started his own money changing business in the 1960s, 70s. From there, my uncles got into the business. That's how my father also came, because my grandfather is my father's uncle. So yeah. He also started.
Had to work for him as probably,
yes, to work
right?
for him in the
okay.
So from there onwards, they got the necessary skills and then they branched out. They got their own license and they've been branched out. They opened up their own shop elsewhere.
Okay. Yeah. In the studio with me this morning, an interesting conversation I'm having with Baraka Ali, who is the first vice president of the Money Changers Association Singapore, and Muhammad Sulaiman, director of Nanayam Foreign Exchange. Let's talk about how a money changer works. How does a money changer make profit? I'm interested to know what the business model is like, because I see a lot of money, but there's money going in and money going out. How does it work, Baraka?
Okay, actually, it's a very simple concept. Okay, you buy it at a lower rate and you sell it at a higher price.
Okay.
So, I mean, that is the profit margin for you. I mean, many people, they do not understand how, I mean, a money changer does not make, I mean, how they make profits. But it's actually when customer comes on to us at the counter, we try to buy it as low as possible. And then, of course, for sales, we will try to put that profit margin there and hike up the price a bit and, I mean, sell it to the customers. I mean, that's our profit margin. But saying that, if the price of the currency does drop, then we still have to bear the loss as well.
Okay.
So it's, I mean, actually, it's not always, I mean, a profit, I mean, driven kind of business. We do face losses as well as the markets dip.
Okay, let's take, for example, if that's a case where I remember some time ago, just using our neighbors as an example, one Sing dollar, you get about probably two, and then it became three. More people wanted to go to Malaysia. Now, their currency dropped. Malaysian currency dropped. Does this mean that you will make a profit from more Singaporeans going there? Is it necessarily the case?
No, it's not been the case. But we have to see what is the cost of the individual money changes, I mean, currency at that point of time.
Right.
So if you buy the currency at, I mean, a certain price, and if the ringgit drops, and then, I mean, obviously, you will have to sell the ringgit at a lower cost.
Mm.
You see, so thereby rendering the losses to your business. But however, what a lot of money changers do, they restock the Malaysian ringgit,
right,
and they average out the rate so that at least the losses won't be that much.
Sulaiman, working as a money changer, you've been running your own business for about 10 years now. I'm assuming you're paying attention a lot to foreign exchange rates. In your personal experience, have you become somewhat of an expert in predicting how it might go? Or is it, do you get days where you really get surprised?
Certain times, it is a little bit predictable. Like,
sure,
we know when the demand for certain currencies are going to come in. So when that comes in, we do know that the exchange rate is going to go up a little bit. But overall, exchanges are very unpredictable. It depends on so many different factors that it's a little bit hard to predict. But what we can predict is we know that during the school holidays, some currencies are really a lot. Many people are going to change a few currencies.
Sure.
So that is what we can predict. And we do know because of the demand, there will be a slight increase in the price of those currencies.
Right, or you can at least predict travel patterns.
Yes, right.
So, challenges faced by money changers. I'm sure you've seen an evolution of challenges. What's the latest problem that you guys have to go through?
I mean, I think a lot of financial institutions will be going through the AML CFD, which is the anti-money laundering and terrorism financing, I mean, regulations.
Mm.
So there's a lot of requirements for them to inculcate into their businesses.
Sure.
Okay, so you got to do due diligence to your customers. You got to keep track of the, I mean, transactions. So there's a lot of cost that is being handed out through these regulations to the money changers. So if you see 20 to 30 years ago, we didn't have this problem.
Yeah.
Okay, I think recently, after the 2001 attacks in New York, I think worldwide there was, I mean, a general consensus that they have to monitor the situation for money laundering and for terrorism financing.
Right.
So with these regulations, you find that there's a lot of paperwork and a lot of cost to money changers.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, as we are cash intensive, okay, we are very cash intensive, and cash is very much a link to money laundering. So with that, we are seen as a high-risk business, all right? So with this high-risk tag that the money changers have, a lot of banks might not be very comfortable in opening up a bank account for a money changer.
Right.
Yeah. So this is one of the biggest challenges that the money changers are going through. So if you see now, a lot of money changers, they are either turned away or actually they are paying a very, very high cost to maintain their bank accounts.
And doesn't help that you read about how things like cryptocurrency is connected to money laundering. It's unfortunate of the world events as well connected to money laundering. It does raise questions when you have a lot of money in your hands. Salaman, you run a business. You've been doing it for about 10 over years now. So you're in a good groove. But then we have the emergence of tech these days. You talked earlier about wanting to develop an app for your business.
That's right.
What pushed you? What prompted you to do that?
Because right now, if you have to look at what's out there, the many banks themselves are coming up with their own multi-currency cards.
Yeah.
Before, you just had credit cards they can use overseas, but then they incur many commissions and...
There's this card that a friend of mine recommended me. Well, I only use it for traveling. I won't name names, but basically it's like a debit card where you can link to your own savings account. You can put money inside, and then when you're traveling, you can use it, and supposedly it gives you the best rates. How do you answer to that, mate?
Yes, that's exactly the kind of challenge that we are talking about. We are looking into this. So there are some advantages when you come to the old school money changers.
Sure.
Okay, one thing will be in terms of service. We talk about digital currencies and all that. Let's say if there's a problem with your app, with something, can you solve it straight away?
No internet connection.
No internet connection, that's right. So when you talk about the other challenges, like right now you're seeing ATM machines. We are replacing money changers. Let's say you go to a machine and you draw out a foreign currency and there's something wrong with the currency, with the note that you just received.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? You can't return it to the machine. However, for a money changer, you can straight away return them, tell him, sorry, there's something on the note, and he will immediately exchange it for you.
Okay.
So there are many advantages when you compare those new fintech companies that are coming up compared to the old school kind of money changers. Main thing will be the service.
Right. It's not that much different from a relationship manager in the bank because that personal touch is so important. What are you telling money changers, Barakat, in terms of how you can stay ahead of the game, how you can differentiate yourselves from all these tech solutions, so to speak?
Well, to be honest, it's a really big challenge. But however, I think cash is still relevant and cash will be here to stay. Although maybe there might be a decrease in volume, so to speak. But I would rather say that in terms of service, in terms of accepting cash in a maybe digital way, that will be something that the money changers can look at. And as an association, we are also looking at how we can help members, our members, adopt technology in a way that can benefit them as well as the consumers at large.
Right.
So that is why the advantages and what are the disadvantages, we are studying them. And of course, the main factor would be the cost. Right now, there's a lot of competition out there. We got fintech companies, we got debit or credit cards, we got a range of product and services. But how we can get past these challenges, we are studying, and we are confident that to a certain extent, we can retain a large pool of consumers to add the cash side for the moment.
Right. We tend to forget as consumers that what cost are we bearing? It's on the money changer. A bank will sell you that, you know, you're getting the best rates, but how much more different can that be? Salaman, where your customers are concerned, where brick and mortar is concerned, what do you think is the one factor that keeps drawing customers back to your shop?
First of all, rates. We are very competitive in terms of rates.
Mm-hmm.
Second, with the service that we provide, how when we talk to them, these are all regular customers that we have. We see them on a very regular basis, and they're very comfortable when they are exchanging currencies with us. I would say these are the two main factors why customers keep coming back to us instead of switching over to other things
apps
that are out there. But we also have many customers who are part of the older generation, where they find it easier to just come to the money changer than to Like you should go to the apps and other services out there.
Yeah, a little bit more straightforward talking to a human being. What about economic slowdown? There's talk of recession and whatnot. Are you seeing a slowdown? Are you prepared for a slowdown?
When economic slowdown, that doesn't mean Singaporeans don't travel. It's just that they change their destination. Okay, so instead of traveling further away, they travel a bit closer.
Right.
And many Singaporeans who find it cheaper to just cross the causeway to purchase their groceries.
Yeah.
So just change their pattern, but they still change currencies.
Yeah. The hunger to travel is still there.
Hunger to travel and what they do, like instead of purchasing things in Singapore, they will cross over to buy it cheaper across the causeway. So they will still have to change their currency.
Let's wrap this up by getting your thoughts on the future of money changes in Singapore. Where do you see money changes in, say, the next 10 or 20 years, Baraka?
Well, that's a very, very difficult question to answer with the digital era coming in. But I'll still say cash will still be relevant to a certain extent. And we hope that the money changers are able to adopt a bit of technology to give the service that the consumers are looking for. And cash is here to stay, all right? But to what extent, we have to wait and see.
That will be interesting. What about you, Sulaiman?
As long as cash is preferred in overseas, our business will still be around. It's only that once it switches fully to digital, then we will also have to switch our business model to cater to that kind of needs.
I've been speaking with Baraka Ali, First Vice President of Money Changers Association Singapore, as well as Muhammad Sulaiman, who's the Director of Nanayam Foreign Exchange. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.